The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, lots of little snippets today. I'd like to start, if I can, Howard, sure, with Mazal Tov to cousin Batya, who's getting married today, and to her Chatan Tzvi, to her parents, to the brothers and sisters, cousins, Mazal Tov. It's a very happy occasion. And also just a wonderful story involving former Jerusalem mayor Nir Barkat. In 2015, when he was mayor of Jerusalem, he was driving along in the city when he drove past a terror attack that was actually taking place. He stopped his official car. He jumped out of the car along with his bodyguard, who was alongside him, security guard. And the two of them tackled the terrorist, who was stabbing at the time a man by the name of Avraham Goldschmidt. In the process, they saved this man's life. Since then, Nir Barkat has relinquished his position as mayor of Jerusalem and is now a member of Knesset. But yesterday, he attended the bar mitzvah of Yehuda, who is the son of Avraham Goldschmidt, the man who he saved during that particular incident. So it's just a nice little coming full circle.
Yeah.
When the mayor himself was driving past a terror incident, and he took it upon himself to jump out and to help this man, and he was yesterday invited to the bar mitzvah. And so it's just a lovely story, which shows that, you know, sometimes these little actions have very, very far-reaching and lasting impact on people's lives. So it's nice that he was invited. Absolutely. And a great story.
Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has landed in Washington ahead of his meeting with President Joe Biden tomorrow at the White House. Do we know what's on the agenda?
Yeah, so I noticed that it's still very difficult for you to say Prime Minister Naftali Bennett.
It's not rolling yet. We'll get there.
We are going to get there.
It's like writing checks. Remember when we used to do that in January?
You know, in January. I'm still writing 2019.
All right.
So, according to what the Prime Minister said when he departed Israel, it seems as if though Iran is going to be very much a front and center on the agenda when he meets with President Joe Biden tomorrow. We've already had some discussion yesterday and in previous days about what people think about how effective President Joe Biden might be in helping Israel to achieve what it needs to achieve. But the Prime Minister said that he will discuss stopping Iran's nuclear program. That really is the main agenda item. And he also went on to say that while he is Prime Minister, there will be no Palestinian state and there will also be no annexation. That was the kind of position that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett wanted to try to present before heading out to Washington. Of course, he presented President Joe Biden as being a true friend of the State of Israel. And he also said that he is trying to bring a new spirit of cooperation from Jerusalem to Israel-U.S. relations. And that's quite an interesting statement, because during the period of Prime Minister Netanyahu, the relationship between Israel and the U.S. was very much characterized by the relationship between the various leaders, Prime Minister Netanyahu and the president who was in the White House at the time. He had very, very different relations with President Obama as opposed to the relationship that he had with President Donald Trump. Each of them had their own issues that were associated with them, but it was astonishing as to how much the diplomatic relationship between the two countries was so much characterized by the personal relations that went on between the leaders, and lots of stories about the things that were done, both good and bad, the relationships that existed, both good and bad, many, many incidents that took place, behavior by the prime ministerial couple when traveling to Washington. That seemed to be more on the agenda than the actual diplomatic issues that confront Israel in its battle against the Iranian nuclear program, and indeed against other issues that Israel has to confront. So It's going to be very fascinating to see how things pan out tomorrow with the new change of leadership, both in the White House and in Balfour Street, the Jerusalem Prime Ministerial Residence. So I think that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett is really trying to take an entirely different approach to things. It's less about the personal relations. It's more about the interests of the various countries, of Israel in particular. And it's going to be interesting to see to what extent President Joe Biden is a willing and be able to do things that might help Israel in the longer term, not only about Iran, but also about maintaining Israel's distinct qualitative military edge in the Middle East that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett is keen to emphasize.
It's interesting that he's meeting him now. I was wondering if this was going to be postponed given the debacle around Afghanistan.
Yeah, I mean, the Afghanistan thing doesn't make us all feel very confident that going to the White House is a good address right now. That, you know, the presidency, the administration in the U.S. is really able to make things happen. And so there is a certain level of, feeling about whether this is really going to be instrumental, going to be effective, going to be effective in any way in trying to help Israel, particularly to combat the issues that are going on with the Iranian, not only the Iranian nuclear program, but whether Prime Minister Naftali Bennett will be able to influence the Joe Biden administration to stop the attempts to re-enter that nuclear deal by the U.S. administration and to get on with the business of really stopping Iran from developing this nuclear the nuclear weapon that we believe Iran is very much hell-bent on developing.
Sad story. A member of Knesset yesterday passed away as a result of a heart attack. Who was it?
Yeah, so this was, it's an interesting story. So a member of the Ram party, which is the Arab party, Saeed Al-Khurumi, he's an interesting guy, was only 49 years old, unfortunately, when he suffered a heart attack, actually in the early hours of this morning. He was rushed to hospital, the Soroka Hospital in Beersheba, where unfortunately the staff were forced to pronounce his death as a result of that heart attack. But Al-Khurumi was a Negev-born Bedouin, lived in Segev Shalom, which is a small Bedouin village just south of Beersheba. And he was very much intent on representing the Bedouin group from the Negev, the Bedouin tribe who are based in the Negev. Not only was he a leader who, on a national level, who sat in the Knesset until his death in the early hours of this morning, but he also represented Negev Arabs and Negev Bedouins all along the way. He was a leader. He was a member of the Segev Shalom Regional Council. He was the head of the Segev Shalom Regional Council for a period of time in that area where he lived. So he was someone who was really very intent upon representing Negev Bedouins at a regional and a governmental level. And his loss will certainly be felt not only by the Ram party, but indeed more broadly by members of the Knesset and Israelis in general. Many tweets that went out, including one from Foreign Affairs Minister Yair Lapid, tweeted in the early hours of this morning where he acknowledged Al-Khurumi's large contribution to the formation not only of the new Israeli government that we have in power right now, but also the massive contribution that he's made to Negev Bedouins and to people in the Negev, in the south of Israel in general. So he will certainly be a man whose loss will be felt very, very broadly indeed.
Yep, a very, very sad story. And then finally, IDF troops have been gathering along the Gaza border.
So, yeah, I mean, we spoke yesterday about the fact that things seem to be changing along that Gaza border, and there's some concern about raising of tensions. And now Israel has formally made clear that they are bolstering troops along the Gaza border ahead of protests that are expected later today on the part of Hamas. We understand that they have arranged busloads of people to be shipped down to the Gaza border area in order to protest. There were, again, incendiary balloons that were fired from Gaza towards Israel yesterday. The idea is to bring people down towards the border fence near that Khan Yunis area in Gaza in order to protest. And the IDF has also said that they've learned some lessons from the incident on Saturday, which saw an IDF border policeman quite seriously injured, shot in the head from almost point blank range. The IDF have made different preparations for today. They've been training. They've made different plans as to how they're going to deal with people in order to prevent them from getting as close to the border fence as was the case on Saturday when those incidents took place, which led to the shooting of that IDF border policeman. So let's hope that the way in which the IDF have trained over the last few days in order to try to control those crowds will be felt along the border today, but certainly a raising of tensions, many, many issues that surrounding what's going on in Gaza right now. And the IDF is certainly preparing themselves for the rising tensions that they're expecting alongside the Gaza fence during the course of today. I'm not quite sure how many people they've planned to ship down, but the problem is that the IDF have got obviously certain rules of engagement about when they're able to fire their weapons. And there were reports on Saturday that IDF soldiers had not fired their weapons at a time when they might have been required to do so for fear of injuring civilians who are on the other side of the Gaza border. So once again, during the course of the preparations for today's demonstrations, the rules of engagement have been reinforced. The IDF soldiers are now, I think, better prepared, according to the reports that I've read, in order to engage with civilians and in order to try to prevent any civilians being injured, being killed potentially as a result of action that the IDF will be called upon to take in the face of those massive growing tensions and potential riots that could take place today on the other side of the Gaza border. So we'll be watching that very, very carefully to see, in the hope that things will just, you know, be managed as calmly as possible. And just in another story before we end off, we've started now the Paralympic Games that started in Tokyo yesterday. And I just wonder whether people have any inkling of how many medals Israel has won in previous Paralympics. So do you have any idea, Howard? Would that be something that you could have a guess at? I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, I've got no idea. Absolutely no idea.
I think that you would be quite surprised because Israel has been participating in Paralympic Games since 1960 and altogether has won 375 Paralympic medals over the years, of which 123 of them are gold medals. Again, I was certainly surprised when I saw this statistic. And I've just been reading about the expectations that the Israeli Paralympic team have. 25 Israelis represented in Tokyo this week and I think next week as well at the Paralympic Games. We came home with 3 bronze medals from the Rio Paralympics. And there is certainly a hope and expectation that we will be able to exceed that. The Israeli team at the Paralympic Games will be able to exceed that this time around. We will be watching quite carefully to see how that transpires. But certainly quite a number of those people who were in Rio also participating this year in Tokyo, apparently 22 disciplines all in all. There will be some interest to see how we might be able to increase our medal tally that we've managed to achieve over the past number of years.
Incredible. It's really amazing. Are a lot of the participants ex-military, might have been wounded in a war?
Unfortunately so. I mean, Israel has a disproportionate representation amongst Paralympic athletes due to the fact that we have a number of people who are carrying war injuries of one sort or another. Certainly many of these people would have been soldiers, would have been injured during their activities as soldiers in the IDF. It also makes them quite determined because there's a certain character of person that comes out of that. So we find a lot of them were injured in the IDF during their military operations.
And does the country get very much behind the Paralympians?
Well, not quite so much as the Olympics. I mean, it seems just generally that the Paralympic Games is like of lower intensity around the world in general. I'm not quite sure how you feel it back in South Africa.
But
we certainly feel it a lower intensity. It doesn't seem to catch as much of the news as the Olympic Games does. But I'm hoping that we'll be able to see some things on TV and that things will be reported a little bit more generally. Let's hope that we'll be able to exceed the 3 bronze medals from the Rio Olympics, and that our Paralympic athletes will come back with some nice prizes. We certainly hope so. We wish them a lot of luck.
Absolutely, we do.